Hey, welcome to the Mead House. Jeff here.
Chris here.
We're getting into the warm weather, dude.
Yeah, I like it.
It's about damn time.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I'm built for cold anatomically.
Same. Yeah.
But I like warmer weather.
And, you know, it's not like this is the first time we've had warm weather, but it feels like we're getting a little bit more consistently warm weather instead of 71 day, 30 the next day, you know?
Or even worse, 71 day and 40 that night. Yeah. Midwest anyway. Midwest weather. Yeah, I heard people a couple weeks ago in Texas, and they said, no, it still gets pretty cold here. It gets down to the 50s and 60s. Shut up. Stop it. You're hurting me. I'm going to teach this in here. Okay, it's a bit chill. Stop it.
Well, before we get into any more weather shenanigans and literally old men yelling at clouds, hey, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you guys tuning in week after week. I get to see the stats, and it's lovely to see so many people engaging, talking to us online or the socials or things like that, as far as like what we're doing.
And we're approaching 2,000 subscribers.
Really?
I think the last I saw was like 18-something.
Nice. It's getting up there.
So much appreciated, everybody. We love each and every one of you. Thank you for coming and listening to us.
Yeah, and for those of you guys like commenting on our posts and sending us emails, stuff like that, thank you even more.
Yes, yeah, even better.
Fantastic. We appreciate that so much. You have no idea. Of course, as usual, the other people we need to thank are Bacchus and Barleycorn.
Bacchus and Barleycorn is a fantastic place to get what you need, guys.
Whether it's ingredients or equipment or information, they pretty much got everything you need for your homebrew misadventures. And whether you're looking at mead, like we're talking about now, or beer, cider.
Cheese, yogurt, kombucha.
Right. Everything under the sun as far as home fermentation goes, they pretty much got you covered. And even a little on the distillation side as well, if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, and you can always use our discount code for 10% off. It's MHP10.
Mm-hmm.
And for Mead House Podcast 10, and get yourself 10% off on your online orders. And if you happen to be able to make a little pilgrimage to the meat to Bacchus and Barleycorn, try something they got on tap. Worth the trip.
Yeah.
Every time.
It's always fun to see what they're pouring these days. And, you know, I think that discount code would probably work in store too, for that matter. So,
you know, even if it doesn't, you're getting a free drink. It comes out.
Hey, Chris, last week we had some honeys that you got at the Texas Renaissance Festival.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
And I continued cleaning out various parts of my house. I have some fun honeys for us to try here, too.
Oh, no.
One of these I didn't find. One of these, this was actually from Valkyrie's Horn.
Okay.
I got a little drawing win for one of the prize sections, and this is coriander honey from Brian's Fine Honey.
I've heard of this kind of honey.
And
it looks dark.
Yeah, she had the coriander and the carrot blossom honey.
Mm-hmm.
And I was considering the carrot blossom honey, although my wife might shoot me for bringing more honey home.
I don't even ask anymore. I just get it. And she gets dolls. I get honey. It's okay. That's really good.
It has an almost kind of a caramel note to it.
Yeah. I mean, but you can kind of taste that spice on the back, mid-back of the tongue. Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Well, and I don't know if this applies to many people listening, but I am in that minority of the population where coriander or cilantro tastes like soap. This does not taste like soap.
It does not taste like soap. This is so really, really good.
Whatever that part is, that does not apply to the honey. This is a very nice honey.
And I'm so sorry that tastes like soap. I wish I could tell you what it tastes like without the soapy flavor, because I think you'd like it.
You know, even if it tastes a little soapy, Belgian whip beer is still one of my favorite styles of beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I still put coriander in my whip beer bracket. So,
okay.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. And what else you got? You got a...
This one, you'll notice, has no label.
I've noticed.
You'll also notice it's fairly dark. It did not necessarily start this dark.
Okay. Fairly dark is kind of an understatement. That's like saying black is almost fairly dark compared to midnight. It's dark. Didn't start off this dark?
Not quite.
So what would cause this to go darker?
Give it a taste and tell me what you taste.
Okay, I put my stick in, I felt something in there.
He's making a very funny face.
What is that? I mean, that
Is it a familiar flavor?
is a familiar flavor, but I can't put my finger on it. It's like a chocolatey.
It's a savory flavor.
Yes.
Kind of an alum flavor, maybe.
Is it alum? This.
It's from the alum family.
Okay. I have no idea what that is.
Garlic, onion, shallot. This is wildflower honey that I lacto fermented garlic bulbs in.
It doesn't taste like regular garlic.
It has a garlicky taste. Try it again, now that you know garlic was involved in this.
That's what I'm feeling in the bottom of this jar is garlic cloves.
It must be the couple garlic cloves left. We mostly used these up in various like stir fries and other things.
Okay, yeah. Now that I can identify, yeah, it does have a distinct garlicky, especially when you breathe out.
On the exhale.
On the exhale, yeah.
Admittedly, this was a little bit more of a prank your friends kind of a thing.
But it's not bad.
And I think this is going on the court jar list.
Yeah.
Because, so to be fair,
How old is this?
4 or 5 years.
Wow, okay.
When you lacto ferment the garlic in the honey in the garlic, that the kind of pungency of the raw garlic, it tones that way down real
Yeah.
fast. And so you get a lot more of the sweetness of the garlic, obviously.
It is sweeter. That was what was throwing me because it tasted clear, but it's sweet. And it wasn't a honey sweet either. And also, the honey is thinner.
Yes, the honey will also absorb some of the water content of the garlic as it's doing that. And we use that the garlic in like stir fries and other, savory applications. I think I like pan fried some chicken or something like that and had a bit. It softens it up, so I kind of just used the back of a spoon to mush it as I was pan frying and kind of just mixed everything together, and that came out pretty nice too.
I was thinking, you
Little
remember when,
honey glaze.
yeah, that'd be really good on you. Tom was talking about his oyster mushroom mead that he made once upon a time. That what an oyster mushroom with that has a potential there. I mean, the mushroom and the garlic flavor.
It sounds potentially savory. And during his talk, he was talking about black garlic too,
Yeah.
which I, as soon as I found this in the pantry, I was like, But yeah, no, there's something there. It's worth investigating. Yes, it's not exactly the most appetizing thing in the world to make you taste, but I think we're agreed there's something
There's
fascinating
something
about
best.
that.
I like the concept behind it because I never thought about savory meats until Tom was talking back at Valkyrie. But now that he brought it up, it has invaded a portion of my thought pattern.
And it's not, you wouldn't want just savory meat,
No, no, no.
but savory as a component to other flavors. Like, ages and ages ago, when we were talking to Ash Fishbine over at Sap House,
Yeah.
he mentioned they had a mirepoix mead
Remember that, yeah.
with roasted vegetables, like the same kind of thing you would use for a soup base with like onion and
Or,
carrots and stuff like that.
ter yeah,
And
celery, all that.
the idea was it was supposed to be like a cooking wine. You use that to deglaze a pot while you're making a pan sauce or something. But one of his employees was like, "No, you just like to do it in a glass over an ice cube or two."
Yeah, I mean, okay.
I mean, it's different strokes for different folks. I think it's a fascinating little thing that is.
Your joke, honey, is not a joke now.
No.
It's kind of cool.
No, this is, and again, it's another rabbit hole for us to kind of,
Yeah.
what do we do now?
Yeah, well, this is how you grow.
Yeah, or annoy your friends, or a little bit of both.
Yeah. That's why I said that.
So, Chris,
Okay.
meet of the day.
Meat of the day is actually from Drinking Horn Meadery, and they are in Flagstaff, Arizona, is where they're from. And they have here the it's what they call a proper meat provision mead. It's salty sandia. It's 30% alcohol by volume.
13.
Yeah, 30, I thought I said 13, but apparently I said something else.
I heard 30, which I'm down, but
Yeah, but
it's
this would be a really short episode.
how long does it take me to drink a glass?
If it's as good as I hope it is, not long.
So what's going into this guy?
Well, it shows here it has a watermelon. It's watermelon mead with Malden smoked sea salt.
Huh.
So, give this a try. I ordered this before we went to Valkyrie, and it's a sparkling mead apparently. So, let's see what we got here.
Got a nice little foamy head on
Now, most of the bottles I got from, not this one, but most of the other bottles I got from Drinking Horn have a self-sealing cap that you can put on top of it after you've opened it. It has the bottle cap
right.
when it first got to me, which we've gone over this. These things are phenomenal for keeping your mead fresh for long, long periods of time.
Oxygen sealed, yeah.
Yeah, so it's really good.
Now, as far as color goes, for a watermelon mead, this is straw
Strong,
gold.
yeah, strong
There
gold.
is no pinkishness to it. And as we've talked about several times before, that color from the watermelon especially tends to fall out during fermentation. So this is not a surprise.
I can actually smell salt. Can you?
Yes, it smells saltier than it does fruity.
Which again with watermelon, but
With
shocked
water,
me.
what does watermelon smell like?
Water?
The salt is not that pronounced on the flavor, though.
It's more of a fragrance than a taste. I'm also not getting much in the way of watermelon flavor, are you?
No,
Again, not surprising. Watermelon's very light.
it's a very light flavor.
I'm getting more smokiness out of the taste.
There is a little smoke on the. This sounds like a weird criticism, but it taste-wise, along the tongue and palate, I'm mostly getting traditional. I'm kind of getting some fruit around the edges of the palate, and I'm getting a lot of smoke like right at mid-palate and into the finish. But at first glance, at first blush, it reads like a traditional.
Yeah. Now, mind you, it's not a bad
No,
meat. I'm
and
enjoying it.
the smoke and the salt are very interesting components here that, you wouldn't really expect in a mead. They're not everyday kind of things that you get to experience every day.
And I'll be honest, the fruit around the edge of the tongue that I'm getting isn't so much of a flavor as a feel.
You're right. It is more of a mouthfeel kind of a sensation, or like there is a suggestion of sweetness there instead of the actual perception of it, if
Maybe.
that makes any sense to anyone listening at home.
My wife, I drink flavored seltzer water at home.
Sure.
That is my soda pop. And a friend of mine, a lovely girl named Bexy, says, I hate seltzer water because it tastes like television static. And someone in the next room is whispering the flavor. It's cherry or it's whatever flavor. But this is kind of whispering watermelon from the next room.
The watermelon is, I kind of wonder how they came up with this idea of the flavor combination in the first place. I've heard of people putting salt on watermelon, but I expect more of a watermelon like forward flavor if you're going to mix it with salt.
But
Then
again,
again, salt isn't that pronounced here.
the salty is not it. I mean, it. I feel a saltiness on the tongue after it's gone,
Little bit, yeah.
but the salt is not the flavor I'm tasting. And I've had salty watermelon. I've put salt in watermelon. Try it.
Yeah.
It's my preferred way to eat watermelon. I'm not a big fan of watermelon, but I'll eat it that way pretty regularly. This is not bad.
It's not bad. I will say it is interesting.
Yes.
It's not what I expected from watermelon and sea salt. I'm not sure what I expected. Well, I'm sorry, watermelon and smoked sea salt. The weird thing is that, yeah, no, as far as flavor goes, it reads like a traditional, with these things as like suggestions on the outside and
Yeah.
not like upfront in your face. That's not necessarily bad.
No, that's actually, in this case, I will say at least in this case, it's quite interesting and it's not bad.
And with the fact that it's carbonated and it's got a light kind of body to it,
It's actually an enjoyable drink.
that plays nicely with that. The fact that nothing is that in your face about it. It's rather subtle. So I think it works. It's
Well,
just not what I expected.
yeah, but I'm good with that. Okay, now this kind of leads to what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about what we're planning for the summer meets.
Yeah, we're just gonna throw out some ideas and throw out some what our plans are, what our aspirations are,
That's
shall we
right.
say.
What's your you give one, then I'll give one. Go for
Sure.
the first one.
So, like you were talking about, the seltzer water is kind of a popular thing, and there is a particular brand of alcoholic beverage lately, hard seltzer, that is taking up more and more of that beer aisle whenever I'm
Yeah.
walking through the grocery store.
I'm not a fan of those.
It annoys the crap out of me.
I'm not a fan of them.
I've had a few of them at, like, my sister's house or, like, company picnics or things like that, and I've never been that impressed.
No,
Even brands of, like, seltzer that I like Topo Chico has a nice fruit seltzer that I really enjoy. I don't recall trying one of their, like, hard seltzers and enjoying it nearly as much. But, fruity session mead, 6 to 8% ABV, light, bubbly, carbonated. I think could go toe to toe with that and not be that much more caloric. I think that is it is the hill that I die on year after year, and part of me wants to just explore those flavor combinations. And we had, like, we've talked two or three times about now. There was that pineapple habanero
Oh, yeah.
that was
We still gotta get that going.
right. That's one of those that I think could translate pretty nicely. Another one that I'm really interested in revisiting, I did a while back, was a and it's not going to be of nearly as much interest to you, but I did a hopped blueberry.
Yeah, okay.
That was it was a light mead, it was a fun mead. I think I don't remember if I made I think I made that one before I was using Quake yeast, and so redoing that with Quake could make it even better. Use some, like, West Coast or some New Zealand hops that have a nice, like, citrusy bite to it along with that. And hopefully try to get the same obnoxious bright pink coloration I got in the first time.
Yeah.
It'd be fun as hell,
That would
man.
be a fun one, at least to see. All right, my first meat I had planned for the summertime is a strawberry rhubarb.
Nice.
Mean, I want it light. I mean, a low ABV, under 10. But I want it. By hook or crook, I'm gonna make it red. at least somewhat red. But I want it. I was thinking a while back about my grandmother's strawberry rhubarb pie she made all the time for any special occasion she could come up with, and I want to relive that in a mead. So that's kind of my goal. That's my initial goal there. I
Okay.
also have plans for a cherry limeade I want to make.
That could also be wonderful.
And I want to use limes and actual zest in the mead.
That to my next one. I played with this a little last year and didn't quite like the result, but I'm currently working on a grapefruit mead.
Ooh.
And I got two Costco size the basket things of grapefruit and did the manual separation of all of the zest from the juice. And so I've got a full quart jar of zest that I
Nice.
got honey drizzled into. And the honey actually has started to pull the oil out of that zest.
Oh, so the honey's
So
getting thinner in
the
there.
honey is thin, like you can turn it upside down, and like usually if you have a jar full of honey, it kind of goes,
Yeah.
and this time it's going, burp.
Okay, nice. So
It's
it's
there's an
almost half as thin.
right, there's an appreciable difference in volume, or not volume, of density to it.
Yeah, okay,
So
nice.
getting ready to put that into my 3 gallon fermenter here, pretty damn close, and we'll see what that does. And then of course I've got 2 quarts of the juice from those guys in the freezer that I'm going to plan on putting on secondary.
Sweet.
And
Yeah.
then
Now I've actually had grapefruit wines, not meads, but wines before. And generally they don't have that bitterness that you get from a lot of the grapefruit fruit, the fruit of the
Right.
grapefruit. So I'm looking forward to seeing what you do with the mead on it.
Well, and I'm wondering what I want to do with the rest of it, because I figured this is going to be a 3 gallon batch from the amount of grapefruit that I'm putting into this. And on the one hand, I could do 3 gallons of just a nice grapefruit session. Maybe at one point last year, the plan that I had, I still have some. I was planning on doing lavender and tequila based on a cocktail we had back in March or April for while we were on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have the jar of tequila and American oak that I was preparing to use
Okay.
that on. That might be one option, but I could split this into 3 1-gallons and do other things with it. A salted grapefruit session.
Yeah, the salt grapefruit is kind of, I'm enjoying the play.
Well, this is watermelon, not grapefruit,
Mean, the salted, I'm sorry. I said grapefruit because I heard
just
that.
a little salted character in this though. And you got to think of, like, I hate to say it, but, like, the tequila shots or the margarita glass, that citrusy, the lime or orange bite plus salt, they kind of go together.
They kind of play.
So that's an option. I could also see, again, some hops or maybe even some pepper playing.
Yeah, I will say that next week when I come back here, I have planned. I got other bottles from Drinking Horn. One we were actually looking forward to at the time was, and we I told you about when I got it, was the Tanta cream. It was a tangerine cream mead, and I got it. It's at home now. I'll bring that back for next week, and we can talk about that too. I was
Promised.
looking forward to that one.
I mean, tangerines are such a potent flavor, and yeah, that definitely has some promise.
But that tangerine cream one that I got is one that I was looking forward to. I also got their unicorn blood. We'll have to try that in a future time.
Remind me what goes into the unicorn blood.
I don't remember. It was several fruits, but it was a winner at Valkyrie Horn,
Really? Okay.
which is actually the reason I got it in the first
Right
place.
on. Okay. Yeah, that's a.
But it was a let me see if I can look it up real quick. It was let's see. It looks like it is a lemon raspberry mead. Looking up on their website.
Nice.
So I love the concept of lemon because, as a chef, lemon is a brightener.
Oh yeah.
It's not so much a citrus as a brightener.
Well, and this is one of the things that I learned from Jackie early on. If sweetness doesn't help and it needs a little bit of brightness to it, he just had literally, it was like a no bigger, like 2 or 3 ounce jars of honey we've got in front of us size thing of acid blend in back. He'd literally take a wine glass and a pinch of acid blend, drop it in the wine glass, swirl it and taste it. 9 times out of 10, that brightened it up. It made it way better. And if people came in asking for advice, after back sweetening, that was his go-to for reasons. It just it
It
works.
works.
And naturally, I would think, a lemon honey, a raspberry has such a acidic component to it too, that that's got to be, is it going to be a sweet tart mead? Maybe, but I'm willing to admit it's pretty good.
Yeah, it sounds really good. Now, just looking at what they have here on the Viking Drinking Horn website, it won the 2024 National Honey Board Mead Crafters Comp Bronze Medal, the 2024 Beverage Tasting Institute Silver, and the 2024 Mead Institute U.S. Mead Open Gold. It also won the Maester Cup Gold and the Valkyrie's Horn Gold in 2023. This one should be wonderful,
I
just
mean,
based on that right there.
that's some heavy meddling right there.
Yeah, raspberry didn't intrigue me as much as what they do with the lemon in this, because I like raspberry meat. Don't get me wrong, I can get raspberry in a lot of places, but I like the twist they put on it.
Raspberry is almost as prevalent as blackberry.
Yeah,
And I mean, is there a reason for that? Wait,
probably. I mean, I'll be perfectly honest. If you put a set of blackberries in front of me, if I'm not making meat out of it, I'm eating them because I love blackberries above most any other fruit.
Hear me out now, Chris.
Okay.
Hear me out. Cobbler.
Oh yeah, I love a blackberry cobbler. That's awesome. Yeah, I ate that in Texas. It was so much. Hey, blackberry cobbler. I'll take that. It wasn't even a discussion. But yeah, but this has won a lot of awards, and I'm looking forward to trying that one.
And now that brings me to another thing that I had planned for this summer, though, coincidentally, is something involving raspberries. Because in addition to those cans of the wine base that I found, I told you I had the Gewurztraminer that we made and the Zinfandel. I also found one that was a Zinfandel blush, like a rosé style mead.
Really? I haven't heard of this.
And I thought, well, I could just make the wine. I could make a pieman with a Zinfandel blush and just see what happens. Maybe use some of that, the sunflower honey I have, or the orange blossom. Orange blossom could be good. That'd give me a little bit of citrus notes. And then I got to thinking, remember the lychee episode?
Yeah.
We had a three flavor combination there that
Ooh.
struck me hard. Lychee, raspberry, and rosehip.
Rose, yeah.
I want to do that with the Zinfandel blush.
All right. There,
That's my plan for this. That's another one of my summer plans right there.
yeah, that sounds like your the summer plan right there.
I
'Cause
mean,
yeah, you I remember how much that idea just hit you. I
and
mean,
here is the three of those together sound so damn good.
they really do.
Here is the bugbear in my head now, and the one that bothers me. Do I make that like a session, light, easy going thing, or do I make that like a 12 to 14% like strong
Standard, yeah.
something that I'm gonna sip at the end of the day? And I could see both being really
Yeah.
good.
Well, you know, if you make more than a single gallon batch at one time, you could split it and try it both ways.
Here's the thing. Each of these cans makes 3 gallons.
Well, there you go.
I do, in fact, have 2 cans.
There you go.
I'm gonna need a lot of raspberries.
I have extra buckets
We'll
if you need them.
see. You know that I am so glad to have my beer gun back though, because it's gonna make bottling so much easier.
I bet,
But
especially because you're gonna make some of these sparkling, aren't you?
oh, for sure,
Yeah.
yes. And it is so much easier to do the forced carbonation once you've got the equipment than to do like bottle carbing and things like that, and so much safer too,
Yeah.
really, at the end of the day. But the Party Guile beer that we made along with the beer I've got sitting in this keg over here in the corner.
That you started over a year ago.
Well, the Party Guile is almost drank now. The beer that was supposed to hold me over while this one is aging out is almost gone. So a while back, I found the God, what were they? The brew firm kits that I had, and I mixed up. It's a Belgian wit that I mixed with some sunflower blossom honey, and so I've got that going for just a basic braggot that'll, it'll be a nice. I think it's a 4 gallon batch to last me through the summer. So it's a nice thing too.
Oh, there you go. I mean, I'm sure there are people out there going, "You made that over a year ago and you haven't drunk it." No, we haven't drunk it. It's not ready yet.
You gotta understand, this is gonna be a substantial thing. And I'm like, now, the thing I like about bottling into beer bottles as opposed to the 750 like standard wine bottles is that a lot of the higher alcohol volume, I'm sorry, a lot of the higher alcohol by volume beads, I feel like I can drink a bottle, a 12-ounce bottle of those, and be good. But sometimes you have a little alcohol, get a little sleepy, call it good. You More often than not, I'm putting a cork in a full bottle and leaving half of it in the fridge. Do I get to it again
Sometimes yes,
before it's still, while it's still good? Is it still good by the time I get to it again?
sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Right, there is a level of math
I've
there.
lost more than a little bit of me just because I forgot I put it in the fridge or whatever.
With the ABV and the volume and the body on this guy, I'm not sure I'm gonna be able to get a whole 12-ounce, pour out of this. This I feel like is like a 3 to 5 ounce snifter full by the fire in the middle of winter, writing my memoir and contemplating life in the grand scheme of things and all that.
Let me know when you start that. All right. So anyway, another one I had thought of for my summer. Now, guys, I don't know how many Jeff's had going at once. I've had as many as eight, nine, let's see, 12 different types going at once.
I'm not nearly that ambitious.
I had buckets. I said, oh, I'm gonna put something. It was literally, I have an extra bucket.
I'm gonna have about 5 going here, and that's not counting like long aging, but 12 is insane.
Yeah, 12's a lot, and I promised my wife I wouldn't do that anymore because we didn't really have much of a living room for that. And there was like seven or eight of them up there. I had a few downstairs.
You know,
There's
I've
45
seen pictures
downstairs.
of Carvin's house where, like, they have the front entry hallway that they don't use anymore. They just let people in through the garage because it's like 10, 20-gallon stainless steel fermenters in a line along one side of the hall,
Oh my
and it's
gosh.
just not that convenient for people anymore.
So I'm in good company, you're saying.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
okay.
Some people, you're not alone in sacrificing living space for living the high life of
Yeah.
experimentation.
But the other one of the other ones, I want to do a peach cream.
That sounds delightful.
Just a nice peach cream, put some lactic acid in there with a strong peach flavored meat. I mean, I want to use a lot of peach flavor in that.
Now, don't forget to get a good peach flavor. The trick that I have been told time and time again is to use apricots for like a quarter of fruit content.
I did not realize that until this very moment, so thank you. Because this will be my first peach meat. But I really want a peach cream meat. I mean, someday I'm going to venture out into childhood and go do an orange sickle.
That was something I was considering too, was an
Oh,
orange
okay.
lactose. Yeah, I was about to bring that up.
Good.
But on the topic of peaches and cream, last year and again this year, my son went to the summer camp that I went to when I was a kid,
Yeah.
and I was so damn proud. And they, you know, I went back there since for the first time since I was 14. And man, that was emotional in ways I was not expecting or ready for.
I believe
But
it.
2 or 3 days in, we walked to the nearest town and we had their signature knee-high peach float, knee-high peach soda, and soft serve vanilla ice
Nice
cream.
cream. Yep.
And damn, that brought back
Yeah, I
memories.
bet it did, man. Okay, anyway, so but my wife mentioned when I brought this up, my wife is supportive, even though she does roll her eyes just a little
I mean, are you really married if your wife doesn't roll your eyes at about half of your hobbies?
bit. I'm very married. I'm very, very married, because it's more than half. But anyway,
Yes,
yeah, you too, yeah.
same.
I swear, half the time our wives describe it as, well, he's doing this thing that I'm just not. I'll figure out what it is later.
I can't count the number of times I've heard, "I love you, Jeff."
Yeah. Or, yes, Chris, I understand. Anyway, but she said for the peach one, a little bit of vanilla might be nice in it.
Yes. I think realistically, anytime you're doing a fruit lactose combination, the orange vanilla, or sorry, the orange lactose, vanilla, strawberry lactose, vanilla. Anytime you're adding a lactose to a fruit kind of a
Vanilla's a good
thing,
thing, Dad. Maybe a hint.
here's the thing. When you're doing a fruit, you know, a light fruit mead, a little vanilla adds tannin the same way a little oak would. So yeah, it just makes sense.
Yeah. But so it's gonna be a thing for me. That's on my list for this year.
Are you going to make it still or sparkling?
Almost always, I don't have the ability to make it sparkling unless I bring it over to you. But
You're over here once a week.
okay, fine. I'll bring some more. We'll make some sparkling then.
I've got a 1 gallon thing we could try using.
Okay, cool. We'll give it a whirl. So let's make it a sparkling then, because I like sparkling fruit flavors. Obviously, I do the seltzer water thing. I like those things. Just I haven't got myself a beer gun or anything to do it with, so.
Actually, here's the thing. Speaking of fruit flavors, last time we went to Valkyrie's, we talked about carbonic maceration.
We did talk about that was a long time ago. I had actually forgotten about that. It's been so long.
Me too. You know who hasn't forgotten?
The fact that you've done
This is full of strawberries that have been macerating
it
carbonically,
for over a year now.
or damn near it.
Yeah, we're talking, this could easily be a 12-month maceration here.
Is this still good?
Well, I have a feeling after the show ends, we're going to find out.
This is just straight strawberry juice and CO2. I think to make this a I'm gonna have to make a traditional to blend this with,
Yeah.
or at least pass this through.
Did you forget about it as much as I forgot about it? You just said, yeah, okay, yeah.
It's been sitting under my work table, so.
Yeah, and just to let you guys who are, you can't see what happened, Jeff literally reached under where our computers are sitting, said, it's right here. And it's been literally at our feet for this entire time.
Right. And I picked it up and it went slosh, slosh, slosh. And I went, there was only frozen fruit in this one. I put it all together.
So, wow, this, hey, experimentation time. Lab coats, safety glasses, and gloves.
Somebody call the hospital in case we need a
Yeah.
treatment for
Fruit-related injury.
or God, what's that? The reason you don't eat soup in bulging cans.
Oh,
Botulism.
botulism, that was it.
Call the hospital in case we need botulism treatment.
No, look, if it smells sour, man, no. If it smells bad, it gone. I mean, my nose will let me know.
I might taste this by the dropper first and then put a sip in my mouth.
Yeah, then I'll send it to the hospital.
But beyond that, I've also got a single gallon fermenter that'll use nitrous oxide instead of CO2.
Ooh.
Kind of like the Guinness feel. Peaches and cream nitrous
Nitrous
oxide
oxide.
bourbon.
I think we're going to go that direction. That sounds really
Me.
good.
I need to make sure I've got the little NO2 capsule carbonation things.
If we don't, I'll pick some up.
Yeah, you got to be able to find those on Amazon. They use that to make.
I might be able to find a Bacchus.
I know they have CO2 ones because they have a similar thing where, and it looks like the little CO2 cartridge things, the little metal pip things that you. When I was in like middle school or junior high, we made race cars, and we just like barreled out a tube in the end of the race car. We stuck one of these metal CO2 cartridges in it, and there was a little like lever thing we slammed down at the end that drove a nail into the end of it, and it just
And
shook
zing,
off
there it
power.
went.
Yeah, it was wild.
And then it lost its wheels and became a rocket into Charlie down the other wind trying to catch
That's what Charlie wasn't supposed to stand down there.
him. Anyway, but yeah.
Lab safety, Charlie.
But yeah, the nitric oxide sounds like the way to go with this one.
Oh yeah, that'll be nice and smooth.
Nice and smooth and wow, this is sounding better than my original idea, just with that
I
alone.
mean, this is why we have friends, so
Yeah.
we develop ideas and we throw stuff around together.
What you got?
Get each other into trouble.
Yeah, right.
And this is one that I may not get to this summer because obviously we're going to be a little busy. But there is an herb that I've been wanting to play with for a couple of years now that I really want to revisit. And it's maybe one you've not been very familiar with,
Which one?
meadowsweet.
I'm not familiar with it. You are correct. I'm not.
So years and years ago, my wife and I went on a little like weekend trip to Omaha, Nebraska with a couple friends, mainly just to go to the zoo and hang out. But while we were there, I think we got there the evening before everybody else did, and we were kind of bored and looking for things to do. And so I pulled up the American Homebrew Association app on my phone because if you're a member, there's a lot of breweries that will give you deals. Like, for example, Boulevard here in town, every time I go in, I get a free pour. Extra pint of beer for free. Never hurts anybody.
Yeah.
And I think we found a spot where there were two or three bars with different, you get a discount on food with a beer purchase, or you get a buy one, get one free on beer, or something like that. So we did a little, not quite pub crawl, not quite dinner and
A pub toddle?
something like that.
No
We
kidding.
went to two or three different, beer restaurant places. We had an appetizer at one place and a couple drinks, and we had an entree at the other place and a couple drinks, and then we went for a nightcap at the third place. One of these places had, I don't even remember the style of beer it was. I think it was something basic like a Kolsch or it was some kind of German beer, but they were serving it with different fruit syrups. Raspberry was one option. Bright, cheerful. Lemon, I think, was one option.
Again, bright and cheerful.
And then another one was meadowsweet.
Okay, now Is Meadow Sweet like Meadow Foam, honey?
Not at all.
Okay. Describe Meadow Sweet to me, because I, again, not familiar.
So Meadow Sweet is, it is an herbal plant. It's in the rose family, but it doesn't look like a rose or rose bush. It looks a lot like any other kind of bushy flowering herb you would grow in a spice garden, and I've grown it fairly successfully in the past. I just didn't harvest it in time, and that was more my fault than anything else. I just got busy with work, and by the time it was, the end of the season or whatever,
You lost
yeah,
out. Yeah.
lost the opportunity.
That never happens with anybody.
No.
Least not annually, and
But it
so it's
has a
twice annually.
Yeah, it has a sweet scent and flavor. In some cases, I've heard of it being used as like a substitute for almond flavor. It has, when you look at it, it has a lot of tiny bushy white flowers that look, they remind me of elderflowers.
Okay.
But it's kind of a sweet, herbaceous, and I don't really know how to define it beyond that.
So it looks a little, it's a white flower.
Yeah, little white flowers on a big kind of roundish bush, lots of little green kind of almond-shaped petals, and even the petals themselves send smell a little bit of like, that herbaceous sweetness to it if you get your nose real close to them.
Okay.
It's a pretty little plant. I had it on my front stoop for quite a while and just enjoyed having it there for as long as it lasted. But
So, what flavor does it, do you know what flavor it imbues?
Like I said, it's kind of reminiscent of almond.
Okay.
And there is a, you really couldn't call it woody, but it's kind of an herbal sort of sweetness to it.
Okay.
Every time I've had it, this time and a couple other times, it's always been in kind of a cordial situation where they made a syrup with it. But I understand a lot of people like to make it into teas as well. And I'm not sure if that's the flowers or the leaves or both. That's another thing I may have to further investigate, because when I was growing it myself, I didn't get much flowering from it. I mostly just got leaves, and it grew fairly prolifically, and then it died, and I didn't get anything from it. So, oh no. As I've mentioned many times before, I don't exactly have a green thumb. This is why I got into mushroom growing instead, because it eats dead stuff. I
Yeah.
don't know.
Well, mushrooms aren't plants or animals, so they're kind of that other category.
They're this weird third thing that is, hey, but at the same time, you know what else is in that weird third thing category? Saccharomyces cerevisiae, our friend that makes mead.
Meat, yeah. So there you go. Anyway, but okay, that's all I really got planned for my summer meads. I mean, it's just the star rhubarb and the peach are my big two. Those are
Right.
my big two.
Yeah, no, I might also think about playing some with a little bit more with the pepper above and beyond the pineapple habanero we were talking about, but I think those are my highlights.
Was it last week you said, the cherry limeade for me? Didn't last week you talk about the limeade with the peppercorns and the
That was a limoncello, but yes.
limoncello? Yeah, but that in a meat itself could be interesting.
Here's the thing about lime. It doesn't take a lot of lime flavor to add.
Lime.
It doesn't take a lot of lime mass to add lime flavor.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, something realistically, adding lime to any kind of fruit brightens it up.
Yeah.
Adding it to a peppery mead, potentially
Maybe.
interesting too. Yeah. There's a lot of different ways you could go with that. I don't know if that may be one of those rabbit holes I have to say, okay,
Stop now before.
I've got enough on my plate.
Well, but have you thought about never mind.
Mr. Martindale.
If I wasn't such a good friend, I probably couldn't get away with it.
If you weren't such a good friend, you'd be a bitter fucking enemy.
As I would be. Good thing we didn't go that far. Anyway, guys, This gave me a couple of ideas of what we're planning this year. Tell us what you've got planned.
Yeah, we would love to hear more about what you guys are thinking for summer and the warmer weather months here. And it's a great time to have a meet after you mow the lawn or have a summer barbecue. And what are you guys thinking?
What are your ideas? Tell us what you got planned. Hey, invite us. You never know. We might show up. Not likely, but we could.
It's highly unlikely. We're fairly busy, but it could happen.
Okay. Guys, happy meeting. Have a great day.
Night out.